whoever would drink of the living water that he could give would never thirst again. And, you know, I wouldn't have any idea what he was saying. I wouldn't have any idea what that meant without the Lord saving my soul. But that scripture is clear to me because of that, because from the time that the Lord saved me, I've never again had that conviction of sin. I've never had that condemnation. When the Lord took it away, it was gone, and it stayed gone. And Jesus said there would be a well of water springing up in everlasting life. And isn't it refreshing, Brother Strode, when that well springs up? I'm thankful for the salvation of my soul, and I'm thankful for the assurance that the Lord gives me along the way that all is well. And I'm going to ask Brother Wayne, if he would, to come now and introduce Brother Wilson to you. Bless you.
Well, I tried to ponder about the service tonight and pray, and that song that we just sang, I Thirst. Revival starts tonight, I believe, at Capitol Hill. And I plan to go some this week, and we need to pray for that church and for that revival. But that's where I was at, attending a day service in 1955, when my thirst became so great that without saying a word outwardly with my mouth, when I was bowed at that altar on my knees, I was in such a thirst and under such a condition and conviction that I didn't know. I had tried everything, and you did too. We all went down the same road. If you know the Lord, we all went down the same road. But I'm glad that in that afternoon service that the Lord quenched my thirst. Amen. That afternoon service. I'm thankful for that. I'll tell you, this is going to be a little strange way to introduce Brother Wilson tonight. Brother Wilson's wife, Sister Candace, and Brother Eddie have a daughter, Abigail, is that right? Somebody tell me yes. And if we go up the ladder, Brother John is here tonight. John and I have conversed some through the years. He's been a farmer and a beef man. John's mother was Sister Martha. And Sister Martha and I always clicked. We always had something to say to each other. And I thought a lot of her, Brother John, and I want you to know that. Sister Martha's mother and daddy, Brother Edison Hughes. In July of 1953, Brother Hughes came to our house in his ambulance. They run a funeral home at Fountain Run. And he backed up to our front porch. Mama was in bad shape. No, none of the children really knew how bad shape Mama was in. And they brought a stretcher in, and Brother Hughes took her to Glasgow, where she did not return home. 5 generations that I've known the family opposite of Brother Eddie tonight. And I thought that was just remarkable. How many people in here have five generations? Raise your hand. There's a few hands going up. That is amazing, isn't it? Brother Eddie lives in the community of Amos in Allen County. He's pastors Poplar Log Church up in Tompkinsville. Becky and I went up there one of the revival nights this past, about 3 weeks ago, I believe, and the Spirit of the Lord was there. The house was full. It's a little country church, but they was probably 110, 120 people in that little church, and the Lord moved the church, and it was so good to be there. And I'm just honored to get acquainted with Brother Eddie. I have known the name, but I didn't know him. But I went to Jonathan, I'm going to call him Jonathan's revival, and heard him preach. And I liked the way that he presented Scripture and the way that he defended this way. And you could just feel the Lord and the power in what he had to say. And of course, I brought it before the church, and he's here tonight, and it's time for him to preach. As able and capable as he is, he'll fail without the Lord. So let's breathe out a prayer as he comes forward and support him with our prayers. I do want to say that we have several from the Becky, I'm not supposed to say Old Brick. What am I supposed to say? Fountain Run Baptist Church, where Frank and Randall and Patty go. And we have several more that are here from that same church. And we're honored that you're here tonight in his support. And so let's get behind him with our prayers as he comes forward at this time to deliver what the Lord has put on his heart. Brother Eddie.
It's good to be here tonight, and appreciate this opportunity that you've given me to come and try to preach. I appreciate the singing, and I've gotten to enjoy speaking with Brother Wayne. We've spoke several times over the phone, and I've saw him several times through the summer, different revivals and different things, and it's been a pleasure to get to know him and get to talk to him. And I, y'all may not be like I am, but you know, some people is kind of hard to talk to. You know, they're just kind of hard to get used to, or maybe their turn is a little different. But I've never had trouble speaking with Brother Wayne, and it's been a pleasure and an honor to get to talk to him. I appreciate getting to meet your pastor here tonight. And I've saw his name on the sign for several years now. And often when I would pass, I would think, well, I'd like to get to meet him, get to meet this church. And so here I am tonight. It's amazing how the Lord works. I used to work for the ambulance service there in Allen County. And so I spent a lot of days and a lot of nights passing through this way and through this church. And often I'd never been here. As far as inside the building, I think sometime when I was younger, we met here. A bunch of churches got together and took a trip somewhere, and we met here. But I'd never been in this church, but I would often pray for you as I drove down the road. You know, I'm glad we can do that. And it don't make no difference how well you know them or anything like that. But there's one thing we can do. We can pray. And so I'm glad of that privilege and that honor. But it's an honor for me to get to be here tonight. Brother Wayne said, I appreciate all the visitors that's here. Appreciate those of you that come from the church I try to pastor. Appreciate those of you that come from Old Fountain Run, where I was a member at for quite some time, me and my wife together. And that's where I guess we met in a way. And so I appreciate everybody that's here. And I hope we just come tonight with the right heart and the right attitude to worship the Lord. And I believe this tonight. I believe if you come to church in the right heart and in the right attitude, I believe then you'll get something out of it. And you can leave and say it's been good to be at church. But if you come with a sour attitude and just come to fill the place, then I'm going to say this tonight, you're probably not going to get a lot out of it. But I believe that, and I've come to find that out in my life so far. But I say again, I appreciate you letting me be here, and I guess I need to quit rambling. I could ramble all night, but I appreciate you. I'm glad to get to meet part of the family. It's a joy to be saved, isn't it, tonight? It's a joy to be saved and to know that you're saved. It's a joy to have an assurance of salvation. And I'm glad that salvation's more than just, I tell them at my church all the time, I'm glad salvation is more than just an experience on the altar. It's something that'll go with you through your life. And if all you got's an emotional experience and something that ain't real now, I'd throw it away and get something that was. And I believe in salvation as of being in Christ Jesus and Him being in you and you being in Him. That's why I believe it. And I'm glad tonight to be saved and to know that and to have that assurance. If you got your Bibles, want to turn with me, I'm going to read some scripture out of the book of 1 John tonight. And then I'm going to turn over into the Old Testament to the book of 1 Kings. I believe it's where the direction I will try to go in tonight. And I ask you to pray for me. I'm extremely nervous. And I'm the type of person that the Lord just, he knew what He was doing when He called me. And He told me He'd help me, and He does, and He has, and I believe He will. But nonetheless, I do get nervous in new places, and I get nervous every time that I stand, but it just seems like it's more whenever you got all kinds of new faces looking at you, and they don't know you, and you don't know them, I get a little bit more nervous, but I believe the Lord will help us tonight, and I desire an interest in your prayers. The book of 1 John, chapter 5 tonight, if you got your Bibles, want to turn with me. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. I may start in the 11th verse, chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says this, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." And I want to skip on down to the 20th verse. "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." I'm going to say this, and it may take me a minute to sort of get my nerves calmed down and to find my place tonight. But, I believe this tonight. I believe that it's not a matter of religion. It's not a matter of denomination. It's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. Would y'all agree with me on that tonight? I believe that an individual in this life, you can be religious and still miss heaven. I believe that. And if religion is all you've got, then my friend, you don't have much. Because religion will fail you. And if, we often say this, I believe I can preach this here, Brother Pastor, but we often say this, I'm glad, don't get me wrong, I'm glad I go to church, I'm glad I'm a member, I'm glad I've been baptized, I'm glad that I joined the church and all those things, but none of those things are what I'm depending on to get me to heaven. And because you know my dependence isn't on a man, nor is it on any action of any type that I have taken in my life. It's not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. But the Bible says it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. And so I'm glad tonight to be born again. I'm glad tonight to have experienced grace, the grace of God in my life. But it is, I thought about that last verse that I read to you there, and this is the true God and eternal life. The night that I got saved, I'll just take my time, but I was saved at a young age, and I don't remember how old that I was when I got saved. That used to really bother me because I'd hear people say, well, I was saved, you know, whenever I was such and such age and on this date and all that. And I don't remember all those details. Someone may have wrote it down. I don't know. I guess I can look back in church records and find it out. But really, that isn't all that important to me. The main thing is to know that you know and to know that you got it. That's right. But I was saved at a young age. I'm thinking maybe around 12, 10 to 12, somewhere around in there. I don't know. I was raised in church all my life. I grew up. Let me tell you a little bit of my history, if that'd be all. Y'all not in no hurry, are you? Let me tell you a little bit of my history. I was raised in Allen County in the community where I live at now. I was raised there all my life, and my mom and my dad. My dad was a deacon at New Salem Church, and I was raised in church all my life. I went to Sunday school and went to church, and I could tell you a lot of stories about all that, but I never was allowed to miss church. I tried to play sick a lot, and I tried to let Mama tell her that I didn't feel good so I wouldn't have to go to Sunday school because I didn't like my Sunday school teacher. But anyway, it never worked. I always had to go to Sunday school, and I always had to go to church, and we always went to revival. There wasn't anything, you know, there wasn't any other option, you know. I mean, you didn't say, well, I might go tonight if nothing comes. I mean, it was just there, you know. You just went. And I'm glad to be raised that way, but you know what? That ain't the reason I got saved. But I was raised in church all my life, and I'm glad I was. I thank God for that. But I got saved one night during revival, and I remember sitting back in the back of the house the way a bunch of us boys do, and we was all kind of sitting together, and I remember that night when the preacher got done preaching, things was different than they ever had been before. I no longer could sit there and go through the motions. I no longer could have the same feeling in my heart that I'd always had. I gripped the front of the bench, and I was scared to death, and tears started flowing down my face. And I had a cousin. He, me and him was real close, and he come to me, and he said, son, let's go to the altar. And so we went up to the altar, and I don't remember if it was that night or the next. I can't remember that for sure. But I can tell you about a time when I, as Brother Strode said, I had done all that I know to do. Them good old sisters in that church, they'd come around, they'd pat you on the back, and they'd tell you to trust in the Lord, and they would tell you to keep praying, and they would give you advice. And I thank God for that. You know, it was an encouragement along the journey. But I had done everything everybody had told me. I went through everybody's testimony that I'd always heard growing up in church, and I tried what they did, and nothing worked. I mean, I still felt the same way. I still had conviction in my heart. I was still troubled. But the moment, there come a moment and a time in there when I just give up. I didn't know what else to do, and I just give up. And that moment, that instance, this may not seem like much to you, but it's precious to me. That moment, that instant, when I give up, it was just like a breeze of wind come across my soul. All that left out, and the sweetest peace come in. I stood, and I told the church that the Lord had saved my soul, and the joy flooded in, and I've been saved ever since. And if I live to tomorrow, I'm still going to be saved. And it's good to be saved, ain't it? Good to know that. That's my personal testimony. That's my personal experience. Everybody that's ever got saved, you got your own, and I'd tell it everywhere I went. Amen?
I wouldn't be ashamed of it. But I'm glad to be saved. But I'm glad to. I guess I'm getting off course from where I thought I was headed. But I'm glad tonight to. When I experienced salvation, I experienced peace. And then as I grew in the Lord and as I had a greater understanding, I learned that that salvation is having peace, and it's having peace with the Holy God, and how that you're no longer an enemy to God, and you're no longer, you're no longer against God anymore, but He takes you in. He brings you into His family. He adopts you as one of His own children, and how that when He does that, I didn't realize that night that salvation was as big as what it was. I just knowed I felt better. I just knowed what I had was gone, and I stood up and told the church about it, but I'm glad that it's surreal to me today, that it's never left me, and it grows sweet. I used to hear my grandma, I'll move on in a minute, y'all get tired of me talking, but I used to hear my grandma, she would always sit in the A women corner, and I would hear her stand, and she would raise her little frail hand, and she would say, talk about how good and how good it was to be saved, and how much better that the Lord was getting, how much sweeter He was getting to her every day. I used to think, boy, that's good, you know, but I'm experiencing it now. I understand what she means, don't you? If you're saved, you've got that friend in Jesus, and if you walk with Him, He gets better every day. And it's not something that I'm not trusting in something that I experienced a long time ago and that was it. I'm trusting in something that's real to me today. And so I didn't understand all that when the night that I got saved. I didn't understand. I'd hear the preacher preach all my life, and I'd hear him talk about going to heaven. I'd hear him talk about eternal life. But whenever I got saved, my friend, I got eternal life. I got life then. I was no longer dead toward God. I was alive unto God. I'd been quickened by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm glad to be saved tonight. So anyway, now I'll move on with my message, if it's all right with you tonight. I want to take your attention here in the book of 1 John in chapter 5. I want to take your attention, if I could, back to a verse of Scripture where it says, and this, in the 14th verse, where it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. What a privilege it is tonight to be able to pray. Right? What a privilege it is tonight to be able to bow your head and call on the eternal Holy God and Him listen. And Him know and understand your every need. That's a privilege. It's a privilege tonight. It's a privilege. I believe the Bible says in one place, we have not a great high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. I'm glad tonight I don't have to go to a certain room or to a certain man, but I can bow on my face and call on Him. I've got direct access tonight through the one that saved my soul, Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about that verse. And I know my message may seem kind of strange. And I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Kings. And y'all pray for me for just a few minutes. I'll try not to hold you very long. I know that I remember a time when I sat on that side. And boy, sometimes the preacher would get long-winded and I had something else on my mind. And it's kind of hard to sit there, you know, in that case. But boy, I remember them times when it seemed like you'd be in church for an hour and a half and it seemed like you'd just there for 15 minutes. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? But I try not to be too long-winded, but I try to want to be sure and give everything that the Lord's give me. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you got your Bibles tonight, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And it seems like that I have preached from this portion of Scripture more in the past little bit than I guess that I ever have. That old mean Sunday school teacher that I was telling you about a while ago, I remember us reading this in her Sunday school class. I'll tell you why she was mean, because in the class prior to hers,
was the, I guess, the young kids' class, and we had Play-Doh, and we had coloring books, and we had all that kind of stuff. But then when you moved from that class to her class, there wasn't no middle ground. You went from that to when you walked in, there was Bibles on the table, and that was it. And whenever class started, you got your Bible, and you had to read from the Bible, and she was rough. And she even, you know, she made you memorize things and all that. And boy, I thought she was the meanest thing ever, but I'm telling you what, I'm a reaping from what she sowed in those days and in those years, because she instilled in me some truths. And she, just like this portion of Scripture here, we studied this. We would read it. And she wanted us to understand the stories. And she wanted us to get it in our minds. It was more than just fairy tales. She knew that it was the Word of God. And she wanted to instill in us those things. And I thank God for that. But anyway, I guess I need to move on. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you know your Bible, you understand. I know that probably every one of you in here tonight knows your Bible better than what I do. But as we used to sing in Bible school when I was growing up, I'm glad He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know, you didn't get the knowledge you've got overnight, but you just kept a reading, kept a studying, and God kept a helping, and God kept a showing, and it's amazing how it all works, isn't it? I'm glad He's still putting me through school. So you probably know this portion of Scripture a lot better than I do, but if you understand this portion of Scripture, if you turn back maybe another chapter or two, you would understand there is a new king, and his name is Ahab, and he's got a wife by the name of Jezebel, and you'll understand that Ahab and Jezebel have brought in a new style of worship. They have brought in a new god, if you will. They have brought in who was it? Baal, I guess is how you pronounce that. They brought him in, and so it's a sort of a bad time in the land and in the country. There is a famine going on in the land. There's I believe Elijah predicted 3 years of famine, and so there is a great drought going on. There's no water. Everything's drying up. Everything's dying out. And seem like they're getting pretty anxious, and they're getting troubled a lot. So Ahab is king, and he has done a lot of bad things, I suppose, and brought in a lot of bad ways. But if you have your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18, in verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. I want to take my time right here just for a few minutes, and I hadn't forgot the first scripture that I read to you. But seems like that, what is there, 850 prophets of Baal now? And seems like that, and it said there that which eat at Jezebel's table. Looks like to me that in this time period and in this portion of Scripture, the ungodly, the idol worship, and the worship of something other than the true and the living God is being promoted over the worship of God. Can y'all see that? That's what's happening, isn't it? And it said that they was eating at Jezebel's table. I mean, she was feeding them prophets of Baal. She was taking care of them people. So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah said unto all the people and said, came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word.
Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. I'm going to read some here, so y'all just please bear with me just for a few minutes. I seem like I don't normally preach this way, but I'm just trying to take my time tonight. So Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto evening, morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. I know that's lengthy reading tonight, and I know some people it's hard to keep your attention just reading the scripture, but I had to read all that. As I began studying this afternoon, and I really began praying about this message here tonight, I come here tonight, I want to be an encouragement and a help to you. I want to be a help in these dark days in which we're living in. And as a preacher and as a pastor, I know I'm not much, but I feel lots of times whenever you begin to talk to people it seems like there is so much difference in opinions and so many different ideas. And some people says, now, preacher, you need to stay away from politics and you need to stay away from current events and the way things are going and all that. And you just need to preach the Bible and you need to just leave all that stuff alone. And I understand that maybe to a certain degree. But I also understand this tonight, that if the things going on in our country don't bother us as Christians, then, my friend, our heart has grown pretty cold. Amen. Y'all may not ask me back, but I'm going to preach to you anyway. That is the truth, ain't it? I mean, whenever right becomes wrong and ungodly living becomes, just a norm and how that sin just seemingly runs rampage. And I don't know about you, but what I do know about you, if you've been born again, I've got a little 4-year-old daughter back there, and it does bother me to some degree about maybe the things that are changing so rapidly, what she's going to face when she becomes a young adult and how that... But you see, I at the same time, I can't let that stop me, and I can't let that drag me down, because the Lord's seen us through, and I believe He'll see her through. I believe that. I still believe in a real God tonight. And so as I begin thinking about this, and I begin thinking maybe about our country and about how things are going and all that kind of stuff, it's sort of like it was in this day. There's a lot of similarities in under the rule of King Ahab is what there is today. They're trying. You know, it makes no difference. A false god is a false god. Ain't that right? You can call it Baal. You can call it Muhammad. You can call it whatever you want to. But a false god is a false god. That's right, ain't it? You can call it money. You can call it pleasure. You can call it just whatever you want to. It don't even have to have a name as Baal. But there are many false gods in our world today. Some people says, now, preacher, we're not worshiping in those days. I know it. Things have changed. And we don't have totem poles and we don't have things like that. But I'm telling you, we still got a lot of false gods. We still got a lot of things that people worship today and are trusting in over the one true God. That's right. And I believe that in Ahab's day, I don't believe that it was the fact that Ahab, although I do think that that his rule and his reign, he was trying to get out all the things pertaining to the true God, and he was trying to bring in the things that pertain to Baal. I believe he had planted the groves. I believe he had done all those things, but I don't necessarily believe he did that overnight. I believe it was just a slow process to some degree, and he just kept inching it in and inching it in. Old Jezebel was back there backing him all the time, and I believe it was her wickedness. You see, she was a wicked woman. She did a lot of ungodly things and all that kind of, you can read the preceding chapters, but anyway, I believe that it was a slow thing, maybe a process that they took, and their agenda was to get the worship of Baal in and the worship of God out, but it didn't work, did it? That's what I like about it. It didn't work. So we find all the similarities of the society. And I tell them at church all the time, I'm trying to hurry, but I tell them at church all the time, you know, if you can't understand what's going on, you know, there's a bird that just will stick its head in the sand. And I believe that a lot of people are like that bird, and they just got their head stuck in the sand. They refuse to see. They refuse to see the wickedness. They refuse to admit the fact that the country ain't what it was, Brother Strode, 40 years ago. They refuse to state the fact that we sat back, and I'm not here to preach our politics tonight, but I am here to preach the scripture to you. But we sat back and we're like, you know, it's kind of like we think that We've watched them. We blame it on them taking prayer out of school. We blame it on this, and we blame everything. We want to give the blame to everything else other than ourselves. Amen? We want to blame them in years gone by. We want to blame this. We want to blame that. But I'm my friend. We can't do nothing about the past. All we can do with is what's now, right? Amen? And so I believe this tonight. Somebody says, "Preacher, what in the world is your message?" I still believe tonight that we've still got a God that answers. Amen? I've preached this a lot, seem like lately. But whenever I've used these scriptures, and Elijah asked him, he said, "How long halt you between two opinions? Why are you in the mix-up of wondering whether this is right, or wondering whether I need to stay with God, or those things? How long halt you between two opinions?" I'm going to say this tonight. I believe there's a lot of religious people. I believe there's a lot of church-going people that still halted between two opinions. Amen? I believe this tonight. I believe, and I don't know, y'all may not ask me back anymore, but I believe that there's a lot of people that are so worldly that they can't see how many gods they've got in the world, how many things they're serving, how many things they're loving over the one true God. My friend, tonight, I might preach a minute, but my friend, tonight, the one that saved my soul, the one that put peace in my heart, the one that loved me and rescued me and helped me in the shape and in the condition I was, the one that has at nighttime, in the darkest hours, whenever everything seemed to go wrong, the one that come to my bedside and would just grab me up and love on me and hug on me and say, "Son, it'll be all right." That's the one I want to stick with. I don't know. Ain't that right? I want a God that answers. I want a God that shows Himself, that is real, and that is proven, and that will work when death comes. Amen? It's not about... Some people says, "Well, now, preacher, you know, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die." For some people, that's an awful stern talk. But I believe this tonight. I believe the same God that saved me, and the same God that has held me and kept me, and the same God that has proved Himself to me over and over and over again, I believe He's going to get better the closer I get to Him. Amen. The closer I get to home. And I don't believe when I draw my last breath, brethren, I don't believe He's going to leave me then either. I believe that. Matter of fact, my friend, I know by the authority of God's Word, I've got a home in heaven. I'm going home one day. I'm going to spend all eternity with Him, the one that bled and died for me. I know that. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just something I've conjured up in my mind. My friend, it's a reality to me in my life. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Thank the Lord tonight. But I could preach about how long halt ye between two opinions. I could preach there Elijah. I could preach about the fire falling. I could preach about all the different details of this scripture. But tonight, what I'll come to do, and I may be about done. I guess my message ain't been much to you, but I can't help it. But I guess I might be about done, but I could preach about all those different things. And my friend, I've never built an altar, and I've never laid a bullock on it, and I've never covered it with water, and I've never prayed that God would send a fire to lick it up, but I have prayed that God would rescue me from an eternal hell. I have prayed that God would come get me where I was at and put me in His family, and my friend, He answered that prayer. Amen. He come got me. He rescued me. I was doomed for hell. I was doomed for destruction, and He rescued me. Thank the Lord. And somebody says, "Now, preacher, you saying this God is that kind of God that He's just going to send fire from heaven?" He can if He wants to. Don't you get me wrong. But my friend, it does me just as good for Him to come by with just a still small voice and say, "Son, I love you." It does me just as good for me to be able to drive down the road and begin to pray and cry out to Him and know that He hears me, know that He answers me. Amen? Amen. That does me just as good. I don't have to have fire fall from the sky. I've got Him living in my heart. So, I guess through all my jabbering and everything else tonight, sometimes I'm as guilty as anybody. Sometimes I get caught up in how wrong everything is and how wrong our society is going in. And I forget sometimes that I'm still serving that same God that answered Elijah. That's right, ain't it? I believe in generations past, them old saints of God that had such a sweetness about them and such a humbleness about them and such a touch of the Holy Ghost about them. You know what? I believe it was because they never lost sight of whose they was, of who they belonged to, and where their help come from. And they weren't worried about nothing else. They knowed if their garden didn't make it, that if they'd just cry out to God, He'd help them. Ain't that right? They knowed if trouble came, they didn't necessarily have 911 to call, and they didn't have a system of help like we have today, but they had a God that would hear and answer. Y'all with me? And we still have that same God. We have confidence tonight that we can cry out to Him, that we can call on Him. And this God, because of Jesus Christ being our mediator, because of Him being the man in the middle, our prayers can go up. And if it's in His will, He'll hear and He'll answer. He'll show Himself. I was thinking, and I got one more verse of Scripture, and I'm just about done. I've probably wore y'all out tonight. But I was thinking about over there, do you remember when the Philistines took the Ark of God? And then they took it back to their place, and they put the Ark of God beside their God who was Dagon, I believe is the name of it. Y'all remember that story? Go home, read it. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 5. But they took the ark and they took it in there and they put it beside their idol and their God, so to speak. And you know what happened to their God? They went home. They went on their way and they come back one morning and He had fell over. Their God had fell over, you see. You know what happened? They set Him back up and they thought, well, you know, I'm sure they was thinking, I'm just ad-libbing, I guess, but I'm sure they just thought, well, you know, maybe the wind blew or something like that and their God fell over. But anyway, they come back the next time and He fell over again. And His head broke off and His arms broke off. And that tore Him all to pieces, you see. Somebody says, preacher, what in the world? I'm glad the God I'm serving is still proving Himself. And He's still doing it today in the day we're living. It may seem like we're outnumbered. It may seem like everything's going wrong, brother. But I'm telling you what, my God's still real. And I'm on the winning side. And there's coming a day that we're going to see Him in the clouds. And He's going to come back to get us. And He's going to carry us home. That's right, ain't it? Yeah, that's the God I'm a serving. That come what may, I'm in His hands tonight. Somebody says, preacher, that's pretty bold talk. I've got a pretty big God. Now, some of you may disagree with this, but if you understand scriptural salvation and in the fact that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, and anybody that gets saved, that's your position in Christ. And when you get saved, there ain't nothing that's going to come to you that don't go through Him first. Somebody says, now, preacher, what about this? What about that? Ain't nothing going to come to you don't go through Him first. It ain't always what we want. It may not be always be easy, but there's a reason and purpose behind everything. Ain't that right? I was thinking the other day, and some people can say what they want to, but my daddy, I asked y'all to pray for him. He just recently got diagnosed with cancer, pancreatic cancer and liver cancer, and he began taking his treatments last week, took his first treatment, and I've watched that man. My daddy was a pretty good-sized feller. We farm now for a living, and he's farmed all of his life, and he was just a big man, just in my eyes, the toughest man that ever has been, you know. You didn't mess with my daddy, and he was just a tough, tough man. And I've watched him go from a muscular, tough man to now he's just dwindling down. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, he's just dwindling down, and his body's maybe getting a little frailer than I never thought I'd see the day when he'd get down on the floor. We was working on something the other day, and I had to, and me and another person had to get on each side of him, hip him back up. I never thought I'd see that. Well, he'd just jump down, jump right back up, you know. But time's changing, you know. And if I let the devil would love for me to just say, just get to questioning God, say, why? Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just why is all that happening? Why, you know, do you not care about us? Ain't that right?
Yeah.
You see, but whenever we look at it that way, I preached this morning, whenever you look at it that way, you're looking through the wrong set of eyes.
Yeah.
That's right tonight. I wouldn't take nothing. Me and my wife and my little girl went to the hospital after my dad first got diagnosed, and they didn't really give him a good outlook at that point, and things just didn't really look good. And I never will forget my daddy. I remember when I was a kid, he would be in church, and you know, the Holy Spirit would get to moving, and I'd see my daddy, I'd see tears start coming down his face, and I'd see him begin to get happy, and I remember one time very well, he grabbed me and he hugged me, and I thought he was going to squeeze my head off, and he went to shouting, and I never will forget that time. You know, them's precious. Do you know that? But I know it had been a long time since I'd seen Daddy just that really full of the Spirit, and I'd heard Daddy talk about how that he would haul corn, he would be going to Red Bowling Springs or somewhere, and I've heard him talk about it, and he'd say, I don't know how I got there. I can't tell you how I got there. He said, me and the Lord was just having us a time. I mean, we was just having us a spell. Y'all ever had them? Some people looks at me like I'm crazy when I talk about things like that, but hey, my God's still real. He would tell me about those times, and me and my wife and my little girl, we went down there, and we was talking with Daddy, and Daddy said, I tell you what, I didn't sleep none last night. And I thought, well, that's not good, you know. And he said, me and the Lord stayed up all night talking. And he said, we had us a time like I used to have. Somebody says, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting that if your God's real, He'll never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. And you might get cancer, and you might not. And think bad things may happen to you in your life, and they might not. But the one thing about it, God will never change. He'll always be there, and He'll always answer, and He'll always be there to help you, to encourage you. Although the storm may rage, my friend, and that song we sing sometimes, sometimes it calms the storm, and sometimes it calms me. I'm telling you the truth tonight, it ain't always about the outward appearance. It ain't always about what people see in their perspective of things, but it is about what God does to the heart of a man, and what God does down on the inside, when He lets you know that He's real and that He loves you. I'm glad I'm still serving the same God that Elijah called on, that He answered by fire, and He licked up the altar, and He licked up the water, and He just burned it all up there by the fire from heaven. I'm glad I'm still serving that same kind of God, and He's still just as real and got just as much power as He ever has. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
My God's real.
This felt like coming tonight and encouraging us as God's people, and I went a long time. Don't give up on praying. Don't throw your hands up and say, well, there ain't nothing else I can do. My friend, let's not forget who we're serving.
Amen.
He's changed the course of nations before, and He can do it again. That's right, ain't it?
I often think, we talk about the return of the Lord, and I believe in an imminent return of the Lord. I believe He could come at any time. Any moment, in any time, I believe He can come back. And my friend tonight, if you're here and you don't know Him, you need to get to know Him. For it's everlasting too late. When God sends you an invite, you better take it. Amen? Amen? That's the best way I know how to put it. When God begins wooing, dealing with you, convicting your heart, my friend, I don't know why. It seems like the devil has made it so complicated in the day and time we're living. When God knocks, you just go. When God calls, you answer. That's right, ain't it? He wants to make Himself real to you in your life. I told you, I can't quit. I'm going to have to, though. But I told you a while ago, when I got saved, how I felt and the experience that I had was just peace. That was all it was. It was just mere peace. But my friend, tonight, I'm telling you the truth. It's just as real to me as it is to anybody else. That God is real and He lives in my heart. That's right, ain't it? You need Him today. I told you when I started, it's not about religion. It's not about church membership. But it is about you knowing Him. Not up here, but down here. That's right, ain't it? Well, brother, I think I'm done. I better quit. I appreciate y'all having me. Appreciate you listening at me. And pray for my family. But it's good to get to meet you tonight. And I don't know what else to say, but if I don't see you anymore on this side, I'll meet you over yonder. We're going to have us a church meeting one of these days. That's right, ain't it? We sing that song, When We All Get to Heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to be good. And I know there ain't nothing going to hold me here either. Good to be with you. I appreciate your prayers, and I can say from my heart I love you. And let's keep on fighting for the Lord. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's not give up a praying. Amen. Look what God has done in the past. Look what He's done for each and every one of us. I'm telling you the truth today. There's no time to slack back. There's no time to quit. Because He's still God. And He's still on the throne. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Ever how y'all want to do you, sir?